الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So today, before we start, I'd like to make a couple of announcements. The first one is that our previous president of the Islamic Society, Brother Battar, his mother is sick, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her a speedy recovery and to forgive her sins in exchange for all the suffering or any disease that she has been going through. Also, I think the father of Dr. Saad Ibrahim, he's a professor in the University of Utah, has passed away. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and grant him his mercy and his deserved place as a Muslim in paradise. The other thing which I wanted to share with you is that recently, this previous Monday, one of the people, or actually a person who is very notable in the Islamic world, passed away. This person, his name was Sheikh Rajab al-Maliki, and he was 90 years old. He passed away on Monday in Saudi Arabia. And Allah gave him the privilege of basically being one of the key people who used to sew the black cover of the Kaaba. So he used to sew with his own hand the black cover that, you know, we see over the Kaaba for 40 years of his life. That's what he did all his life. So he passed away this Monday. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that since he gave him such a good privilege in this life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a very good privilege for all the services he has done for the Baytullah in the Akhirah. Today is a day where everybody is engulfed and absorbed in celebrating consumerism. Now, we were not going to discuss anything regarding that, but there is a fact that one should always remember, and statistics help us understand where we stand as human beings, Muslims or non-Muslims, when it comes to issues that affect our daily life. According to a statistic by agencies who collect statistics on debt in the United States of America, in November, most recently, which is this month, before it ends next week, the average credit card debt for a family, a U.S. family, average credit card debt is $15,593. And usually the debt actually increases at the end of the year because of all the shopping for things and material possessions that people want. The average mortgage debt, mortgage is basically somebody who, you know, buys a house on a loan, is $153,184. That's an average, right? Which in Arabic is called mutawassit al-qard. Now, an average student loan, people who go to college and they take a loan out for that, is $32,511. So, unfortunately, regardless of where you are, U.S. or even not U.S. anymore, we are in a system that promotes and encourages people buying things with money that they do not have, and things that they may not need in their daily life, but they feel like they want. So that is a sad state of affairs. In Surah Safat, right, the Surah in Quran, it is named, some ulama say, after the angels who stand in lines upon lines and ranks upon ranks. وَالصَّفَّةِ صَفَّةِ. There is a story. And the story is, of course, what the mufassirin, or the people who do the exegesis of the Quran, put, or they do commentary of the Quran, placed in there. A story that is narrated by Ibn Kathir in his tafsir. In tafsir Ibn Kathir, a scholar of Islam who writes a commentary of the Holy Quran. In verse 51, I will read these verses and then we will go and learn some lessons from this. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. He says, فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. On that day, there will be a group of people. They will be sitting together in the paradise and they will start to talk to each other, converse with each other. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينَ. One of them will say, I used to have somebody who was my friend in my previous life of this world. يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. He used to tell me, my friend of mine, this friend of mine used to tell me, do you actually believe that there is such a thing as paradise or hell after we die? I mean, do you really believe that? And then he continues and he says, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. Do you actually believe that we will basically be held accountable after we pass away, after we become dust and we become bones in our graves? Do you actually think that somebody's going to bring us back to life and ask us all these questions about how we existed in this life? You really believe that stuff? So then this person who is sitting in paradise relating to these people amongst whom he is, he says, قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. Come and look and let's see. فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. So then this person who is relating this friend of his in dunya, who used to doubt hell and heaven, he says, come and look, let's take a peek into hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that in Jannah, there will be no situation where you have to travel somewhere to, you know, find a place. If you wish that you want to see a place, it will be presented in front of you and you'll see it. Now how that works and the dimensional travel that human beings will be able to do in the afterlife is something that we do not know how, but it is narrated to us. فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. He sees him in the pits of hell. Then he says, this person, he's in heaven and he's looking at this friend of his who's burning in hell. He says, قَالَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كِدَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. You almost got me believing as you used to. Like, I was almost to a point where I was going to give up my faith because of all the taunting and the criticism I received from you. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ. That if it was not for Allah's grace upon me, I would have been in the same situation like you are in the pits of hell at this very moment. Then he will tell his friends who are watching this guy being punished for his actions. He says, أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ. Is this it? There will be no more death anymore? There will be a certain euphoric moment where this person who is looking at his adversary in the pits of hell, adversary not because he fought him, adversary because of the ideas that were conflicting and that led to different actions on these two individuals. So he says, أفما نحن بميتين؟ Are we truly not going to die anymore? This is a rhetorical question. إلا موتتنا الأولى وما نحن بمعذبين. That is it true that now we only died one time and now there is no more accounting? There is no more torture? There is no going to be punishment anymore? Is this pretty much my final place? So then these people will be quiet because it's a rhetorical question. Then he says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. For surely, this is the real victory that we should all work towards. There is no more death. There is no more punishment. You've already passed the exam. Now it's time to celebrate for eternity. And grow in wisdom in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the company of the saints and the prophets and the angels and whatnot. So what is the story of these two people? Ibn Kathir narrates two narrations. I'll use one of them. He says, in the time of Bani Israel, in the children of Israel, there were two people. There were two compadres or companions or friends or buddies or whatever you want to call them. And each of them got 3,000 dinar. So each person got 3,000 dinar. So one of them was a non-believer in life after death, and the other one was a believer in life after death. So the non-believer took 1,000 dinars, and he went and he invested his money like however he thought he should. So he says, فَمَكَثُوا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَمْكُثُوا. That, you know, time passed. One day this non-believer met this believer, and he said, what did you do? This believer asked him, what did you do with your money? Because, you know, this is what people nowadays ask, you know, what kind of deal did you get? Where did you go shopping? Did you go to the Midnight Madness? So he says, what did you do with your money? He says, I bought a whole bunch of land and gardens, وَنَخْلٌ وَثِمَارٌ, a lot of, you know, gardens and ranches and everything. So this believer says, you really did buy that? He says, yes. And I feel that I'm going to be rich one day. Because that's what our unfortunate motivation in life in countries where consumerism rules supreme is, that one day we're going to all make it big. So this believer goes and he prays tahajjud at night. He prays to Allah at night. And he puts 1,000 dirham, right, in front of his prayer rug. And then he asks Allah, he says, oh Allah, the person who does not believe in the hereafter bought land and gardens and ranches with his money. I believe in the life hereafter. I will give this money in your path, and you give me gardens and paradise when I go and meet you. And then he wakes up in the morning, and then he goes and distributes the money in the poor, and then he loses, of course, his 1,000 dinar. So then time passes by, then this believer runs into this non-believer one more time. He says, what did you do with the rest of your money? He says, you know those ranches and those gardens and those lands that I got? He's like, yes. He's like, I needed some servants to take care of that because it was too much for me. So I bought a whole bunch of servants, and now they're working for me, so now I can employ people. I have become rich. So then this believer goes back at night and he prays. And he is a human being as well. He also feels that he needs something in life. It is not that these people hate this. It is not that. It is that he believes in the hereafter. He weeps in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh Allah, he got servants. I would like to request the same in paradise. And I am willing to give my 1,000 dinar in your path tomorrow. He wakes up, he goes, and he distributes all that money to the poor people who are needier than him. And then life goes on as usual. So finally what happens is that he meets him for the another time. He says, what did you do with the last amount remaining with you? He says, you know, I had land, I had servants, I was missing one thing. I was missing a rich and beautiful wife. So I heard about a rich and beautiful woman in my town whose husband passed away. So I gave her a wedding gift of 1,000 dinar. And not only did she accept to get married to me, she brought all her wealth to my wealth. And I am super rich now. I'm very, very well off. So he says, really? Did you do that with your last 1,000 dinar? He's like, yes. He's like, okay. So he goes again and prays at night. And he puts his last amount of money. And he says, oh Allah, that person bought land, he got servants, he got a wife. I am willing to not get married and wait for my wife in the hereafter. I will give this 1,000 again in charity tomorrow for the people who are more needier than me. So he wakes up in the morning and he distributes that money to the people who are needier than him. And then, of course, what happens is reality sinks in. Now this person has no more money left. And the only possession that he has is his trouser and his shirt. So then he says, now I have to survive. I've given all of my money to God, expecting reward after death. So I need to work hard now to earn a living. So he basically goes and gets a job as a person who cleans animals and feeds animals in a farm and sleeps with the animals in the barn. But unfortunately, the person who is the owner of the barn is a harsh person. So every time he passes by and he sees that one of his animals is missing food, he goes and beats this guy up. And he says, did you steal the food of my animals? You filthy rat or you filthy dog, because you don't have any food to eat. So he tries to be patient with his hard circumstances in life. But he says, you know what? This is getting unbearable. So he has an idea. He says, I will return to my buddy. My buddy who inherited the money with me. And maybe he will employ me in his great land and ranches that he has. And maybe he'll have mercy on me and give me some clothing. And if I feel hungry, he will feed me as well. So he goes back finding his non-believer friend. So he comes across a great palace. And he tries to enter, but the guards won't let him enter. And then he questions him, is this the palace of so-and-so? He's like, yes. The person now is almost like a king. So he says, you have to wait by the door and sleep at night when our master wakes up in the morning and then he rides his horse. Maybe you catch him when he's riding his horse, then he'll talk to you. So he sleeps in a cold night outside the palace, waiting for this gentleman to come on his horse so he can talk to him. In the morning, the doors are opened, and the guy comes on his horse, and he recognizes him. He says, do you recognize me? So the person descends from his horse, and he says, yes, I do recognize you. Where have you been? And it is said in the story that he's shaking his hand, so he holds his hand. He says, before I tell you where I've been, I need a favor from you. He says, what's the favor? He says, I want to be your employee. So that person becomes very arrogant. He says, sure, I will not only make you an employee, I'll be very good to you. You'll be my best employee. He says, but on one condition. He's like, what's the condition? You tell me, what did you do with the money that you had like me in the beginning? And look what I made of myself. Because that's what rich people do. Rich people have this trait. I'm not saying it's negative or positive. When Allah allows a person to be a little bit successful, regardless of how, they tend to sort of flaunt their success. So he says, I want you to tell me why you became so poor, while I had the same amount of money, and I could do all of this with my money, and you couldn't do this, and you're now on the streets. You're homeless. He says, forget about that. Just give me the job and we'll call it good. He says, no, no. For you to get employed with me, you have to let me know who you gave this money and how you invested it. Because apparently your investment didn't work. So he says, إِنِّي أَعْطَيْتُهُ لِلْمَلِيءَ الْوَفِيِّ. I have given him to somebody who is so rich and he is so trustworthy that eventually he will return it all with profit. He says, who is this friend of yours who you've given all your money to and he's left you like this? He says, Allahu Rabbi Azza wa Jal. My Lord Allah, the one who rules the heavens and the earth. So when he said that, the person became so arrogant that he pulled his hand out of his hand and he said, أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. Do you really believe that, man? I mean, seriously? You gave money to this unseen God of yours and you expect that one day he's going to give all that back to you? You really believe that? Those fairy tales? Those legends that unsuccessful people use? That poor people use as an excuse of not being successful in life? Because that's what happened. When the Prophet ﷺ sent his emissaries to the king of Rome, he asked for him to be a prophet, there has to be a sign. What is a sign? He's like, who follows this guy, Muhammad ﷺ? He says, only the poor and the meager follow him. He says, yeah, then he's a prophet. Rich people don't follow prophets. Rich people are too busy with their own selves. They're too narcissistic. You know, narcissist is somebody who worships himself. Allah talks about that in the Quran. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Do you have not seen a person who worships his own desire? Seriously, can people worship their own desire? Yes. Yes, we see that in action today and last night and tomorrow. If a person desires something, he will camp out for weeks and weeks. He worships a desire. Worship doesn't have to be that if you need some gadget, you basically put it in the front like, you know, Buddha or something and bow down to it. It's like, what moves you in life? What encourages you in life? What gets you out of bed at night? God says, wake up in the morning and pray to me before Fajr. People are asleep. Best Buy says, you come and stand in line at 12, we'll get you what you want for $200 off. And people are camping for that. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ هَوَى. So this person says to him, أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. You really believe all these fairy tales, man? That we're going to die one day and we're going to become like bones and dust and then we're going to rise from that? And then what happens? It is said that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this believer enters paradise, he will come across a great land. So great that he will be humbled. And Allah will say, this is yours. He will say, really? Is it really mine? He will say, yes. Because on that night when you prayed to me, I accepted your prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in Sahih Muslim, and this hadith is not talked about, not because it's in Sahih Muslim, because people don't like to pay attention to details. People like to read the fat stuff. They like to read the fancy stuff, but they don't want to pay attention to detail. This is the only narration in Muslim and in all the books of hadith in the which the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqul aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّ أَقَلُّ النَّاسِ دَرَجَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا أو فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The least people, or the last person in Jannah, in heaven, the last person, the lowest degree, is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call. And he will ask him, you know what he will ask him? He will ask him, this last person who enters paradise, he's the lowest of the low. Basically, he's in economy class. He's not in the business class or the first class of Jannah. He's like way down there by the tailpipe, you know? Like sits where the bathrooms are. I mean, this is like way down in the pecking order. Allah will ask him a very beautiful question. He will say, "أتذكر زمانك?
Do you remember the era in which you lived? These words are only narrated in Muslim. They're not in Bukhari. They're not in all the books of hadith. Because here's the deal. The Sahaba may like horses and palm trees and gardens. Our kids will not enjoy palm trees. You take a kid from America, you put him in palm trees and horses, he'll say, man, what is this? I don't know what to do with this. He will say, where's my Xbox? He'll say, where's my PS4? He'll say, where's my iPad? Right? Allah says, أَتَذْكُرُ زَمَانَكَ. Do you remember the era in which you lived? He says, نَعْمْ يَا رَبِّ إِيَّا رَبِّي. He says, فَلَكَ مِثْلُهَا وَعَشْرُ أَضْعَافٍ. I will give you, not one, tenfold more kingdom than the era in which you lived in. So if you were a guy of the 60s, you'll have 10 times more. If you were a child of the 70s or the 80s, you know, you get the point, right? Okay. So this person will go in paradise, look at his wealth, and then Allah will show him his servants, and Allah will show him his wife. And then he will look at his wife and he says, I am glad that I prayed to Allah in dunya, because his wife and the wives of dunya and the husbands of dunya as well leave each other when death comes. People say, she's my wife. She's your wife as long as you live. After you die, she's somebody else's wife. He's my husband. Yes, he's your husband for the moment, but tomorrow he could cheat. Or tomorrow when you pass away, he'll probably sob over you for 2-3 months, maybe a year, 2 years, then eventually he'll get married. These are my children, really? Okay, they're your children by name, but after you pass away, they will also get entangled in the web of life, and they will pass on the door and the corridor that is laid for them. So truly, what is it that we really own? Nothing. Except our deeds. If a person fed somebody hungry, yes, that'll work. If a person clothed somebody who was naked, a person who saved somebody's life, a person who stood for the right, a person who helped the poor, who helped the needy, who was a kind person, that will be taken to his grave with him. And that is why you will see that the people who are into consumerism and materialism, they can gather and buy anything they want. But at the end of the day, there is a spiritual emptiness that comes with these purchases that nothing can fulfill except the love and the spiritual reality of the Almighty and His presence in our lives. You will go and see, people are addicted to purchasing stuff. People are addicted to drugs. These are all alternatives for people who are in denial about the real reality of existence. A heart of a human being is a vessel. Now some people might say, so do you want us to be living a life of poverty? No. Go look at the Sahaba. Look at Uthman radiallahu anhu, how rich he was. Look at Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, how rich. He was so rich. I mean, the guy, radiallahu anhu, was filthy rich. Abdurrahman bin Auf, the great Sahabi whom the Prophet gave the glad tidings of paradise. You know, this is the status of those people. Abdurrahman bin Auf heard from the Prophet's tongue, blessed tongue, that he will be in paradise. And he had all that money. But the Prophet told him another reality before he passed away. He says, Ya Abdurrahman, Inni ra'aytuka tadkhulu al-jannata habwan. Oh Abdurrahman, yes, you are going to paradise, but I saw you crawling to paradise. So he says, why, O Prophet of Allah? He said, just because you have so much money, by the time Allah will be done with you, you'll be so tired that you will not be able to walk, you'll be crawling. He wept. He wept so profusely. He said, I will now ensure that I will take off that load. I will undress all that wealth before I go in my grave. So you know what he used to do after the Prophet passed away? He put salaries for 10 of the Prophet's wives. And he even put a salary for the president of the Muslims. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to get two paychecks. One from the government and one from Abdul Rahman bin Auf. And Uthman radiallahu anhu used to take the money off the government, throw it, and then he used to say, Aina amwalu Abdul Rahman, at-tayyib ibn at-tayyib wa maluhu tayyib. He used to say, where is the money of Abdul Rahman? The goodness, the person who is good, the person who earns from halal, and the person who is of halal. I want to eat from his money, not the government's money. And Abu Bakr used to weep. He used to say, I heard the Prophet say that after I pass away, only a good Muslim will take care of my family. And Abdul Rahman used to say, Ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, I wish I am that person. Salaries for a president. Have you ever heard this? In any nation where a civilian pays the salary of a president in addition to the government paying the salary. Because he heard the Prophet that not only are you going to Jannah, but you are going to Jannah crawling. He said, I don't want to crawl. I want to run. What is making me crawl, O Rasulullah? Oh, you have so much money. It's so much money. How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to account for everything you have invested in life? Allah will ask us for each little cent that we have spent. Each little dollar that you have spent. Why? The ulama say, Ibn al-Qayyim says, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا وَيُنْشَرُ لَهُ دِيوَانًا دِيوَانٌ لِمَا وَكَيْفٌ. Why did you do this? And how did you do this? Everything will be questioned on this. Why did you do this? How did you do this? Why did you earn the money from haram or halal? Yes, oh Allah, you showed me this is the way. You gave me a talent, I used it. How did you spend that money? Some people make halal money. Their income source is halal. But their expenditures are in doubt. Like, what does it do for a man who works hard with the sweat of his forehead and then at the end of the day, he goes buy smokes or drugs? And what good does it do if a man steals money and he is a thief, he's a hustler, he's a hoodwink, and he takes that money and then he goes buys Qurans and he sells them and he distributes them to the people? Does that do anything? إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is good. He doesn't get if you think that you're going to buy Qur'ans from drug money or money that is tainted. Allah is... Who are you trying to trick, man? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ. I know what you express and what you hide in your hearts. I know everything about you. So we should be careful where our lives are headed. It doesn't do good a man when his buddies or his family or his community drops him 6 feet under, throws sand on him, and walk away like nothing happened, and leave him to his devices, and leave him to his own actions, and nobody's there to help us except our deeds. So may Allah help us and protect us and guide us and straighten our paths and cleanse us from all the filth that we have accumulated in our lives. And may not He make us from those who worship their desires to the extent that it blinds them from the real purpose of existence and life.